As a result of the last senatorial elections, it is now expected that Senate President Juan Ponce Enrile will be unseated from his post, well, not because really of a bad job or personal animosity. It is plain and simple political alliances. Political alliances form and break, not on the basis of real principles, but in the interest of positions and ambitions. Yung mga alyansang political, ganyan talaga na nabubuo, naggigiba, at bubuo ng panibago upang magkaroon ng kanya-kanyang access to position. Political alliances are notorious for fragility. There is nothing permanent. It is always oriented to ambition. This is not how it should be with Christian alliance. Christian alliance is what we call fellowship. Fellowship for Christians is oriented to the gospel, oriented to service, oriented to church ministry. And a shining example of that in the New Testament is the fellowship within the circle of companions around the Apostle Paul. And that is what we have been considering these past 2 months. We are looking at those people who touched the life of the Apostle. They are part of his story. There are lessons we can learn. And we are drawing lessons that remain relevant to the ministry and mission of the church today. There is no more Apostle Paul. There is no more apostolic office in the church, and yet there continues to be the ministry of the word, there continues to be the mission of the church, and what Paul's friends will teach us is the type of people that will contribute to the ministry and mission of the church. At ang tinitingnan natin sa mga naging kaibigan, naging kasama ni Apostol Pablo sa kanyang ministeryo at misyon, anong uri ng mga tao ang kinakasangkapan para sa pagsusulong ng ministeryo at ng misyon ng iglesia? There may be no more Apostle Paul, but yet we can still have Priscilla and Aquila, whose Christian availability was a precious favor for the ministry of the apostle and for the ministry of the church today. We can have the faithful partner like Silas, his willingness to suffer in his call of commitment to the ministry. From Luke, the beloved physician, we learn persevering company that provides strength in ministry. From Timothy, we see genuine concern for the brethren that made him probably the most trusted confidant of the apostle. And then from Barnabas, even though there was a falling out between Barnabas and Paul, yet we see in Barnabas that act of Christian encouragement, which has an immeasurable impact upon the ministry. And last week, we considered John Mark. Again, initially having a falling out with the apostle Paul, yet we find him restored. And we learn from John Mark that restored usefulness from stumbling is a powerful testimony for the ministry. Now, I can continue this series one more month because there are others like Epaphras and Epaphroditus and others that I will have to skip. I will have to conclude this afternoon. And in this series, we consider as conclusion someone Paul could not do without, Titus. Again, bear with me as we look at several short passages. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. From there, jump to chapter 7, still of 2 Corinthians, and let's read verses 5 to 7. Chapter 7, verses 5 to 7. For even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced still more. From there, jump to verses 13 to 15 of the same chapter. Verses 13 to 15. Therefore, we are comforted, and besides our own comfort, we rejoiced still more at the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For whatever boasts I have made to him about you, I was not put to shame, but just as everything we said to you was true, so also our boasting before Titus has proved true, and his affection for you is even greater as he remembers the obedience of you all, how you received him with fear and trembling. Then chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. But thanks be to God, who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he is going to you of his own accord. Jump to verses 23 and 24. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you to these men. Our last text is Titus chapter 1. The letter of Paul to Titus chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. Titus 1 verses 4 and 5. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Now these verses reveal how much Paul relied on the ministry of Titus, especially for problem churches and problem places. Only for Titus does Paul in fact affectionately combine the titles my partner and fellow worker. Na kuminsan ginagamit niya fellow worker for others or partner, but only for Titus does he affectionately combine my partner and fellow worker. And for his part, wherever Titus was assigned by Paul, he always delivered. Whatever the task assigned to him, he did with determination. And that is my message as a concluding message in this series. Christian determination in ministry is essential to the building up of the church. Christian determination in ministry is essential to the building up of the church. Ang masugid na ministeryo ng Kristiyano ay napakahalaga sa pagtatayo ng iglesia. Christian determination in ministry is essential to the building up of the church. Again, take note, I attach the word Christian to characterize determination, because there is a determination that is of an unchristian kind. One may be determined by sheer training or perhaps by force of personality, but the Lord Jesus is not the influence behind that determination. And we do not want that kind of determination. Determination in the ministry is that type which is pushed and motivated by our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was the kind of determination Titus exhibited. Who was Titus? Titus was a Gentile converted under the ministry of the Apostle Paul, most likely. And what Apostle Paul did was to use Titus as the showcase of justification without having to become a Jew. You remember how he said in Galatians chapter 2 during the controversy in Antioch, how he yielded to Timothy being circumcised because he was a Jew, but of Titus he said, we did not yield, not even for an hour. Because the Judaizers wanted Titus to be circumcised as a showcase for their argument that before you can be fully counted as Christian, you must become a Jew, and Paul refused. So Titus was important to him as a sign of a man accepted fully by God without having to become a Jew by way of circumcision. And in that case, already Titus was Paul's showcase during troubled times. And from then on, it would be to Titus that he would give the most problematic of assignments. In the manner that Paul speaks of Titus in the verses we read, and the way he spoke to Titus in his letter to him, we see here a man who could be relied upon to do with determination any assigned task. Now, you ask, why the need for a determined ministry? Bakit kailangan ng masugid na ministeryo sa pagtatayo ng iglesia? I only have two reasons to give. First, because of troubles besetting God's people. Troubles besetting God's people, mga kaguluhan, mga suliranin na gumugulo sa mga tao ng Diyos. Troubles besetting God's people. And secondly, harvest awaiting Christ's mission. Yung bunga na naghihintay sa misyon ng Panginoong Hesukristo. You try to put them together side by side, they seem not to belong to each other. They sound like opposites. Troubles and then harvest. But that's precisely what we will go through in the ministry. You will go through troubles and yet there is the potential of harvest. And for that, Titus was the man of the hour for the Apostle Paul. So first of all then, consider troubles besetting God's people. One commentator wrote that if one deserves a service award from Paul, Titus should get it. You can call Titus Paul's troubleshooter. He assigned to Titus the most problematic of situations. I imagine Apostle Paul gathering his team to distribute assignments to them, and he said to Luke, you will stay with me. Oh, that's a juicy assignment, stay with Paul. Timothy, you go to Ephesus. Well, that's still a good assignment. Ephesus, after all, Ephesus was reputed to be one of the leading churches in the Roman Empire. And Titus was waiting for this assignment. And Paul tells him, you go to Corinth. Corinth? Ba't naman sa Corinth? And yet, when assigned that task, in all the problems that Corinth represented, he did his job well. He did his task with determination. And I imagine him reporting to the Apostle Paul, sir, mission accomplished. And Paul tells him, good. Next assignment, Crete. And again, ha? Bakit naman Crete? But you see here, the point that I'm trying to make is that Paul relied on Titus for the most problematic of situations because he knew Titus was a man of determination. And here we learn that a determined ministry will struggle with and yet stand up to Christians' weaknesses and immaturity. Yan ang meron si Titus. Marunong siya magsimpatya sa mga kahinaan ng mga mananampalataya, pero naninindigan siya sa kanilang mga kahinaan. At ito ang kailangan natin sa ministeryo. This was the sort of man Titus was. He could struggle with, he could sympathize with the weaknesses of the people of God. He knew where they were weak, he knew where they're immature, and he could struggle with them, and yet he would stand up to them as well. It will be very easy to dismiss the immaturity and weakness of the people of God. Just think of the Corinthian church and all the problems that it represented. Partisanship, disunity, deficiency in Christian love. And I don't know if Titus attended the Lord's Supper and he found it a mess. There was abuse of gifts. I mean, pag samahin mo yung mga problema niyan, may problema rin sa doktrina ng resurrection. Pag samasamahin mo ang mga doktrina, ang mga problema niyan, anong sasabihin mo sa iglesyang ito? The tendency is just to dismiss. Move on. Do something more profitable. There can be nothing done for that church. It is not even a church perhaps. But not Titus. He looked at the church. He was realistic about the problem. And yet, he would struggle with them, sympathize with those weaknesses. Now, he did not dismiss. But on the other hand, he did not simply accept that that's the way it is going to be. No. He was a man of determination, neither dismissing nor accepting. And this is why I call it Christian determination. Why? Where did Titus get this determination? Listen to the Apostle Paul. Thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you. In other words, Paul saw in Titus that kind of ministry that will be willing to go to a problem church like Corinth and determined to do something. Determined to serve. A determined ministry cares even when those to whom he extends care are themselves uncaring. It will hurt you when you have to minister to Christians who do not seem to care about the ministry of the church or the mission of the church. They may even not seem to care for their own spiritual growth. And yet, here is what sets Titus apart. An unreliable ministry will resort to two opposite approaches. As I've said, dismiss or accept. But a determined ministry will not dismiss. If you are put in such a ministry of influence on others, be determined to serve. To dismiss is to resort to constant scolding. This is what gave the word sermon a bad connotation. People think of a sermon, it's scolding, and that's not a determined ministry. To dismiss is to keep on condemning the failures and flaws of the weak and the immature. But Titus, with his Christian determination, exercised earnest care that did not resort to dismissing. He would serve the Corinthian church. But on the other hand, the opposite approach is to simply accept the weaknesses and immaturity and expect nothing more. Now, this was the problem Titus faced in Crete. Paul himself said what Cretans were like. Titus 1, 12 and 13, one of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." And Paul comments, "This testimony is true." And what does he say? "Accept it. You cannot do anything." No, that's not what he says. "Rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith." In other words, no, you don't accept it. They are Christians. And as followers of Christ, you expect something to happen. So there is no mere acceptance of the status quo. And that's part of the upbuilding of the church. Part of the upbuilding of the church is to deal with troubles that beset the people of God. A church will not grow without people who are determined to stick to the ministry despite the troubles. That's what the church is going to be. I'm halfway through reading Dan Brown's newest novel, Inferno. It is set most in the place of Florence, Italy. And in that place, there is that place which is called Gateway to Heaven. But would you believe Dan Brown also mentions a place which he calls Gateway to Hell? Guess what? What place? Manila. Okay na sana, na-extra tayo sa Dan Brown novel, pero ang tawag niya ay Gateway to Hell. And that riled some of our officials, particularly MMDA Chairman Francis Tolentino. Sumulat pa raw siya kay Dan Brown. But my point is that the church you want to believe is gateway to heaven, but there are times when you feel you are stepping in hell, when you have to deal with sin and weaknesses and immaturity. And if you run away, then you fail to minister. Titus did not run away. Now, for the part of the church, be sensitive to your leaders and brethren, how you may be helping or hindering them. Here, Apostle Paul is honest enough. He admitted to being troubled, so that despite the fact that there was an open door in Troas, he could not continue until he could meet with Titus. He went to Macedonia. And then he tells us, even when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, fighting within and fighting without, and fear within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Would your name be mentioned by your leaders and your brethren, and they would connect it to comfort. We were troubled when brother or sister so-and-so, we were comforted. For some, it would be quite the reverse. We were in comfort, and then this brother or sister came and left us downcast. That should not be. But the point is, we influence. We help or we hinder. And here Paul reports of Titus, we rejoiced still more of the joy of Titus because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. So it wasn't just Corinth that was blessed by the determined ministry of Titus. When Titus saw the effect on the Corinthians, he himself was refreshed. It's a give and take. It's a two-way traffic. And so as I call for a determined ministry on the part of those given the means to influence, take note your own influence. You influence your leaders and your brethren. You do affect them by helping them or hindering them. This month is the 50th death anniversary of A.W. Tozer, one of the most influential preachers and writers of his time, who called on the church to reforms of character. But the point is, he did not give up. He saw the weaknesses, he saw the immaturity, and he called for change. There you see the man who did not dismiss, but did not accept. When you see troubles besetting God's people because of weakness, because of sin, because of immaturity, do not dismiss them. It's part of the Christian life to be beset by troubles and sins. But do not accept them as well. Work for change. And that brings me to my second point, harvest awaiting the mission of harvest awaiting Christ's mission. Here, Apostle Paul reports to the Corinthians, he, that is Titus, not only accepted our appeal, but being very earnest, he is going to you of his own accord. In other words, he is not going to Corinth simply because he was assigned by the apostle. He made it his own. This is exactly the situation of the church on mission for Christ. Christ has given us a mission. We must own it as our mission. That's what Titus did when he was assigned by the Apostle Paul. And owning the mission means that we will not be satisfied without that harvest promised by Christ. Hindi tayo titigil hanggat hindi natin nakikita ang bunga na ipinangako ng Panginoon sa kanyang mission. Paul sent Timothy not simply to monitor the problem churches, rather he wants results. He wants fruit. Now, Titus himself went, not simply because he was assigned by a higher office. He too wanted results. He too wanted fruits. And the fruits that both of them seek is both inside the church, the maturation of Christians, and outside the church, the conversion of sinners. Yun ang bunga na hinahanap natin. Ang paglago ng mga Kristiyano ay kasama sa bunga na ipinangako sa salita. At sa labas ng iglesia, sa mga hindi mananampalataya, ang bunga na hinahanap natin ay ang kaligtasan ng mga makasalanan. And the fruit is evident. Had Titus dismissed the immaturity of the Corinthians and refused to go, Paul would not have been able to report these words. He told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced still more. This is the same church in which, or of which, the first letter said they are divided, they are carnal, they are saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas. Now, 2 Corinthians reports the progress of grace. But that's because Titus did not refuse. He owned it. And when we look at Christians in their weakness and immaturity, you must believe in the potential of graces. Now, in the case of Crete, again, ay nakakatakot na assignment ito dahil sa uri ng kultura ng mga tao sa Crete. And yet, Apostle Paul assigning Titus there reminded him of the message we have. Listen to Titus 2:11 and 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. He is telling Titus, this is our message. Yes, that message is relevant and effective even for the Cretans. And so we must believe. Whatever place we are assigned to minister the word of the gospel, we must believe that it is a powerful message, that it can change even Cretans, and yes, even Filipinos. Yun ang dapat nating paniwalaan. Believing in your message, you will stick in the ministry that God has assigned on you. Be determined. That's what Titus proved to be. As a teenager, Galileo once visited Pisa, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and was captivated by a pendulum that he observed. And he watched its motion and began to analyze. And from then on, he was captivated by the science of motion. And you and I, until this generation, are beneficiaries of what Galileo observed because he was obsessed with motion. I want us to be obsessed with the message in a positive sense, to believe in the power of the message and consider seriously that there are portions of the harvest that rely on your determination. May mga aanihing bunga na ikaw ang inaasahan na maging masugid sa paglilingkod. Listen to Paul. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. In other words, others are going to benefit because Titus is determined. And the same is true of each believer, each member of the church. We can be said to be of ministry to others' benefit. But when you fail to stick to your ministry, you fail those intended beneficiaries. And what we need is to be determined, to believe that even headache Christians can yet bear fruit through the grace of God. To believe that sinners like Cretans can yet be converted by the message. Because the message is the grace of God appeared and accomplished it through Christ. Yan ang gusto kong sabihin sa ating mga panauhin. Ito ang mensahe na may biyayang dumating at ang biyayang iyon ay tinupad ang gawain ng pagtutubos ng mga makasalanan upang sila ay baguhin. At ang ganyang mensahe ang daladala natin sa mundo na dapat ay masugid tayo na ituloy at maging masigasig tayo na ipangaral. Think of how you benefit today from the Corinthian correspondence. The two letters to the Corinthians. There are so many doctrines that I will find inadequate to teach without the Corinthian correspondence. But there would be no Corinthian correspondence if Titus refused to serve in Corinth. Or how do you benefit from this short letter to Titus? I need it for pastoral theology and for other ethical concerns. But there would be no letter to Titus if Titus refused to minister in Crete. But we see a man who was determined, who believed in the harvest, in the power of the word, So to be determined means to stay where you are supposed to serve, even when there is headache. To be determined means to persevere serving, even when those you serve are unresponsive. To be determined, however, also means you will not accept the status quo. There must be result. There must be change. The cause of Christ grows through such men and women who persevere through the headache and the challenge. So ask yourself, for whose benefit is your service being used? Do you stay even when you have to be in a situation like Corinth, a situation like Crete? Well, Titus proved true to his name. Titus in Greek means honorable, and he truly was a man of honor. What was assigned to him by Paul, he did, because he took it as his assignment for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is another death anniversary today. He is known in history as the Venerable Bede. You've heard of San Beda? That's Bede. He died May 26, year 735. We know him today because of his writing, Ecclesiastical History of the English People. Considered by many as the first scholarly writing of history. Before that, some history writings are full of legends and myths. Bede wrote the history of the church in England with accuracy, full scholarship, and it is from his writings that we learn of the fluctuations of church history. That's what church history is: troubles and harvest. And what is true of history over a long period is also true of the lifetime of a church like ours. It will be an experience of troubles and harvest. And the only way through the troubles for us to enjoy the harvest is to have men like Titus, those who will be determined to serve. Even when there are troubles, they will not dismiss, but neither will they accept status quo. They want harvest from Christians and from unbelievers. As we conclude this series, let me remind you again, this has not been about how to win friends and influence people. This is not about friendship as such. This is about how to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. The people we studied are people who demonstrated various graces that added to the effectiveness of the Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul will be the first to deny that he did it all alone. He needed the Priscilla and the Aquila, the Luke and the Timothy. And now he needed a man like Titus who was determined in ministry. Let that determination be our own ministries as well. As we sing our last hymn, "Teach me thy way, O Lord." And it is a prayer for perseverance, even in times that are difficult. The second verse says, "When I am sad at heart, teach me thy way. When earthly joys depart, teach me thy way. In hours of loneliness, in times of dire distress, in failure or success, teach me thy way." And may that be our prayer in the ministry that God has given to us, to go through it, both troubles and harvest. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos at Ama, nagpapasalamat kami sa katauhan ni Titus, kung paano siya naging katambal ni Apostol Pablo sa kanyang ministeryo, at kung paano matututunan namin sa kanya ang masugid ng ministeryo na siyang kailangan sa pagbubuo at pagtatayo ng iglesia. Grant us, Lord, to have that kind of determination that is by your grace not mere force of personality, not by sheer training, but because of our commitment to the Lord Jesus. And such determination is needed because troubles beset God's people. We encounter weaknesses, immaturity. And we thank you for the example of Titus, who in the face of the problem church of Corinth, he did not dismiss. He did not resort to simple condemnation or scolding. But neither did he just accept the status quo. Believing in the power of your word, he was able to report to Paul the growth of grace among the Corinthians even. And grant that we may have the same belief, that we are not to dismiss when we see weakness, even the reality of remaining sin in Christians, and yet we would not accept simply because it is culture, because we expect more of Christians as part of the power of grace and the direction of your word. And yet, with the troubles, we are made to believe in the harvest awaiting the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And grant, O Lord, that we may have that orientation to mission, which includes the maturation of believers, that even headache Christians can yet become gracious in their character. And not only among Christians, we are made to expect harvest among unbelievers, even in as difficult a place like Crete, and in whatever similar situations we may find ourselves in. We pray, Lord, for that belief, for that positive obsession with the power of the message to change things around, to change sinners. So grant, Lord, that we may have that determination in our ministry, a determination that is brought about by our belief in your grace, belief in your word. And these two will always be mixing in confluence in the experience of every Christian church. There will be troubles. Help us not to dismiss, yet help us not to accept status quo. Yet there will be harvest, when we think of our ministry as for the benefit of others. May we therefore determine to persevere and to go on in our ministry, considering that there are portions of the harvest that rely upon our determination. So give us the grace that you once showered upon Titus. Give us that grace that is able to be determined in our ministry, remembering the Lord Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and accepted a shame. And may we do likewise in conformity to our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.